All right, let's turn to your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Today we're going to cover another two verses. We're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13, and the title for this message, Knowing, because specifically it's about how well do you know those who labor and minister among you, basically your pastors, leaders of the church. So this is kind of an interesting message for me to preach since I'm the pastor, and it's just like preaching about, in a sense, my position. And I thought I'd start out with reading the verses and then get a bit of an introduction of what we're going to be looking at today, because as much as this is a verse you think about the congregation and what their responsibility to the pastor is, I'm really looking at this as what the pastor also needs to be and the requirements to be a biblical pastor, because there's a lot of people that preach in churches or pastor churches, but are they doing that which is according to the Word of God? Let's look at the verses first and foremost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So we're going to look at this, and if you're bulletin in the outline, we have verse 12, we're going to be looking at the relationship, and then also dealing with respect in verse 13. So it could be kind of easy. It's like, guys, you need to respect me and love me. Amen? And then I can go home. And no. there's a lot to this, like I said, in understanding what biblically what a pastor is all about. And like with anything, with any leadership position, really respect, and that is something that is earned and not should be demanded or anything like that at all. And like I said, I'm really going to spend probably the majority of time of talking about what a pastor is supposed to be. And to do that, I actually want you to just leave a bookmark in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Obviously, this is a book that is written to the Hebrews, to the Jews, and it's doctrine that is for them. And remember, all the Word of God is for you, but not all the Word of God is to you. In other words, there's specific parts of the Word of God that is doctrine or that's going to be to different people, whether it's to the Jews, whether it's to Gentiles, or whether it's to the body of Christ. But this is something that Paul writes specifically to the Jews, but we see something here that is just a good principle for anybody in leadership. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it says this, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow," but this is the important phrase here, "considering the end of their conversation." Now remember, conversation in the Bible is not just what you say, but it's a matter of what you do. And it's not blindly following somebody if they're not doing that which is according to the Word of God. Nobody should follow a leader, and specifically obviously for a church, just because they are the pastor of the church. Well, they're the pastor, so I'm just going to follow and just believe with everything they say. No. If they're not preaching and teaching the Word of God, if their life is not matching up to that, there's no obligation to follow them what they're doing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 is another one that I have just as a way of introduction, but basically Paul is talking about those things in Philippians 4 and 9, so those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is saying those things that you have seen me do, the things that I have taught you, again, but it's active in who he's doing it in his life, then you need to do the same. Paul is never asking anybody to follow him without understanding that he's following Christ and, again, following the things that are laid out in the Word of God. There is no blind faith. There's no just following somebody just because they're in a position. It's a matter of, are they following and doing the truth? That is the thing to understand and what we're going to be seeing here today. So let's actually have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in digging into these two verses and the things that we need to see out of them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do. Lord, I do pray that you be so many of our church family that are out with sickness and things that are going around, Lord. I pray that you would heal them and bring them back to health, Lord, and again, to be able to see them back here. But Father, I pray that you would meet with us today. Lord, help us to understand these two verses. There's a lot in them and a lot really that needs to be, I think, understood in Christianity today as far as pastors and leaders are concerned. Even though these verses focus on how, the congregation in a sense are supposed to be able to love and respect the pastors for the work that they do, it really, to me, I look at these verses as a reminder of what I need to be doing as a pastor. That's the focus that we need to look at. And I pray that there's believers out there that maybe they are in a church in a situation to where they are not pastors are not doing what they need to do, that they really consider that and really understand that and trust you for direction to a place to where they can be in a church where the leadership is teaching and instructing in the Word of God, helping them to grow in the Word so that this verse can really come to fruition in their lives, that there is a place where they can love and respect the leadership of the church as they're learning and growing in their relationship to you. So Lord, I pray you give us an understanding, help us to be able to apply these things in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, it says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you." Now notice it says them. That's something that I kind of really want to stress, because really the model of dealing with the church is that God would desire really having a team of pastors or leaders. Now obviously we're a small church, and obviously I'm the pastor, but obviously Kurt helps me out a lot. In dealing with things, for especially when I'm out of town and that. But it really is by design a teamwork type situation, and that's why this verse deals with. And Paul says, "It's like, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and to know them." It's like, how well do you actually know the leadership of your church? How well do you know me? Do you know my likes and my dislikes? I'm not just talking about things like that, but do you really know what's going on? And again, I'm going to turn that back on myself and understanding what I need to be doing. I actually want you to go back to Proverbs. We're in Proverbs 24 in our reading today, but I want you to go to chapter 27 real quick. Proverbs chapter 27, I'm just going to read verse 23. It's something that I take to heart. It's something that I had as a personal vision and goal for my life, even last year as we're coming through the Word of God as a church. But in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23, it says this, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and to look well to thy herds." I mean, a pastor should know where the people are at. And again, it's not a matter of being nosy and being in their business or anything like that, but it's like, do you know where the people that you're leading, where they're at? Where are they at spiritually? Where they're at? What are the different needs that are going on in their life? Are you praying for them? I mean, those sort of things. And it's like, it's something to be diligent about doing. And the reason why I stress that, because I've been in ministry, it'll be 33 years in January. That I've been involved in ministry, and I've been saved for 32 years, or actually 33 years now. So I pretty much, when I got saved, I pretty much hopped right into dealing with ministry. I mean, the Lord did some unique things in my life. But one of the things I come to understand about ministry and about the role of a pastor is dealing with relationships. Relationships are important, building. And as much as the scripture today is talking about how well do you know those who labor among you, how well do you know the pastor, and this is a two-way street. How well does the pastor know his people? As he turns back to Colossians, I mean, we're in Thessalonians, but just turn a few pages back to Colossians chapter 4. And I want you to notice what Paul says in verses 7 and 8. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Again, it's that whole idea of a mutual understanding and knowing what is going on in each other's lives. It's about developing relationships. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "All my state..." Now remember, Paul's in prison at this point in time that he's writing this. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you." Tychicus, as he's going to describe here, it says, "who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So in verse 7, we're seeing where Paul's saying, "Hey, I'm sending Tychicus to you, to the church of Colossians, and he's going to declare all my state. Everything that's going on in my heart, everything that's going on in my life, he's going to communicate that to you." Well, why? Because, you know, Paul is always like, "Hey, be praying for me." And Paul wants to know what's going on in their lives, and that's verse 8, Colossians 4 and verse 8. It says this, "whom I have sent unto you, Tychicus, for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart." It's mutual. We're talking about ministry. That's what ministry is really all about. One of the pastors that the Lord used in my life many years ago, he used to have this statement talking about ministry rides on the rails of relationships. Thinking about a train and train tracks, that sort of thing. It's like ministry is all about the relationship. And it's sad that there are pastors where they really don't have a close relationship with the very people that they're pastoring. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I've seen it in different circumstances, when I was in Canada as a missionary up there, even in the United States, and just working in a church for a conference that I was doing, we had pastors where literally the idea of them being more friendly to their congregation and knowing them is something that is, I literally heard taught that that is not something that you're supposed to do. The pastor's friends need to be other pastors, but not the very people that they are leading. That makes absolutely no sense. I've been in a situation to where I remember this guy, I'm telling you. I asked him, I knew what his first name was. We're doing a discipleship ministry in the church. This is upper state New York. And I asked him, what is your name? And you know what he told me his name was? Pastor. Your name is not pastor. That's a position that you're in, yes. But your name is not pastor. All right, I won't tell you what his name is or anything like that. But it's like that was the mindset that this man had. It wasn't a personal relationship. You know me. I mean, if you guys call me pastor, that's fine. But do I ever tell you to call me pastor? No. You know, can you be called, I'm the Reverend Charles Boyce? Yeah, I guess. But do you ever hear me say, call me Reverend? When do I have you call me Charles? All right? If you really know me and I like you, I may even let you call me Chuck. Chucky is actually my nickname. That's what my parents gave me. And that went out as soon as that horror movie came out, Chucky. I mean, I just can't be associated with that. But no, the point is about a relationship. Hey, I am just Charles. I'm another brother in Christ. We're in this thing together. Yes, the position that the Lord gave me privilege is to be a pastor of a church, that sort of thing. And I understand that. We'll talk about the role of that here in a second. But it's about having a relationship, knowing, hey, that I want to be approachable so that you can sit down and say, hey, what's going on? And it's like, if I'm having a tough time, it's like, you know what? I'm having a tough time. It's been a tough week. Things are kind of stressing me. Can you pray for me? It's about being real with people. And I expect, in a sense, the same. That something's going on in your life, you need me to need some counsel, need some prayer, then that you're telling me. It's a mutual type thing. And the problem that pastors get into as we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to continue on, here's the problem, the twofold problem. Yes, you have people in a church to put their pastor on a pedestal somewhere. And when that pastor has issues and their relationship is just total, their relationship with God is totally tied to that pastor, and that pastor has problems, then their relationship with God fails as well. The people, they put their pastor on a pedestal. All right? Don't do that with me. I'm just a human being doing my best to try to follow the word of God and so forth and so on. Don't want to be a hypocrite saying that you need to do this and I'm doing something else. We're in this together. But the other problem is that pastors put themselves in the position to say, well, I'm pastor, and the people can never let me see, I can never let the people see that I'm having problems because I'm supposed to be solving their problems and stuff like that. That's also a problem. All right? It's like, if you see my countenance is down and you say, hey, Charles, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I will tell you. It's like, hey, you know what? Kind of a tough day. Had this situation at work or whatever, and this, that, whatever. Pray for me. You know why? Because a pastor should be approachable. It shouldn't be where people's like, well, I don't want to talk to the pastor about the things that are going on in my life because he might say something or think something wrong of me. And then, likewise, the pastor shouldn't be to the place where it's like, I can't ever let people see that I have a problem or an issue. That's where the problem comes in. That wasn't Paul. Paul is like, hey, Tychicus, let them know everything that's going on. My state, everything that's going on, let them know. And I also want to know what's going on in their life so I can pray for them and so forth and so on. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and continue on, talking about knowing those that labor among you. Back to verse 12 again. It says, and we beseech you, brethren. Now notice it says we, again, because remember, Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and it's also Silas and Timothy, his partners in ministry, that are helping him with that church. And that's why it says the we. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. All right, I want to deal with that aspect. Actually, labor among you and are over you in the Lord. I'll deal with that in a second. And admonish you. The idea of laboring and admonishing. Admonish means to give instruction. I want to deal with that aspect first because a pastor's primary responsibility is to study the Word of God. Is to labor in the Word of God. To understand doctrine so that when he is preaching and teaching, that he is laying it out as exactly as the Word of God says. It's not his opinion. It's not the popular thoughts of the world or anything like that. He is preaching and teaching, admonishing, instructing exactly what the Word of God says. And it takes work. But that is their main job. Even in the early church, as far as the Jews are concerned, if you go back to Acts, it's like when there's an issue with people not getting served right, and they call out these deacons and so forth, the reason why I talk about that is because the apostles couldn't leave the understanding of the teaching of the Word of God, the study of the Word of God, to be able to do that. They took care of that. God elected, in a sense, people to be able to take care of the needs of the church, in a sense, as far as the physical service. But they had to do what? Stay in the Word. Alright? To be able to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. Well, the church, the body of Christ, is the same today. A pastor should be laboring and studying in the Word of God. I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to go back again to, well, not again, we haven't been there, but to Ephesians. We're going to go back to the left, as in Colossians earlier. I want you to go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. You start seeing, again, the role of what the pastor, he should be the pastor teacher, alright? In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Understanding, again, the starting of the body of Christ, he had those different positions. We really don't have apostles anymore. We don't have prophets. There's no need for that. We have a completed Word of God. Evangelists, I mean, specifically we're to do the work of an evangelist, but we don't have an office of an evangelist in the body of Christ. But we still have pastors and teachers, all right? They go hand in hand. Well, what's the purpose of the pastor teacher? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The pastor's responsibility, my responsibility, is to grow you in the Word of God, that you can grow in your relationship to be able to turn around and be able to minister to people as well. It's unfortunate that we have this concept in the body of Christ today to where it's like, well, that's the leader's responsibility to preach and teach. It's the leader's responsibility to reach people for Christ. It's the leader's responsibility to do discipleship. Yes, that is true, but it's every believer in Christ's responsibility. Right? It's not just my job to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. It's all of our job. Because there's people in your life that I may never reach, may never see, and those people need the Word of God. They need Christ. Well, that's why you are in their lives as a believer in Christ. And so, but the responsibility of a pastor is to do that. If there's a pastor of a church that's not growing his church, not giving them every opportunity to learn and grow in the Word of God themselves, then the pastor is not biblically doing their job. And it does take work. I have seen pastors, you know what? You know how they prepare for a message on Sunday morning? They search the internet. No joke. I'm not saying it's obviously to every pastor. I'm not making that kind of hyperbolic statement. But I have known pastors that they are looking at other people's messages. They got all these other different books and everything like that. Instead of just trusting God and their relationship, getting in the Word of God, studying things out, and giving the message to their church. They're at www.pastorsmessages.com, whatever, to come up with their message. It happens. You know why? Because people are going to be lazy. It takes work to study out the Word of God, and that's exactly what a pastor is supposed to do. That's why if a pastor is supposed to have that love and respect for the work that they are doing, as it says in our text today, then it needs to be somebody that is doing what? They are putting in the work, the labor. I want you to go to 1 Timothy. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians where we're at, and then I want you to turn to the right a few pages, I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17 and read down through verse 20. Again, a lot of what I'm talking about today is really preaching to me, all right? And it could be easy just for me to read verses 17 and 18 and leave it at that, but now I'm going to read the whole context of what it talks about dealing with a pastor or an elder. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. It says, "Let the elders," another name for dealing with a pastor, "let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." All right, there are pastors today that say that doctrine is not important. Well, that would be against the Word of God, because it says here that they need to be laboring in the Word and doctrine. You need to know what God has for us, that we're going to be held accountable, that we're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's the doctrine. That's how we're going to be judged. What is accountable to us? And so the pastor needs to be doing what? They need to be laboring in the Word and doctrine. If you want the double honor, as it says here, and you're going to be ruling well, then you have to be laboring in the Word and in doctrine. That's what I need to be doing. In verse 18, it goes on, it says, "For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." It actually goes back to in the Old Testament, actually in the book of Exodus. It's like, if you're using oxen to reap the field and everything like that, let the ox eat some, all right? After all, he's doing some labor. The idea behind that is, again, the pastor's pastoring the church, he is worthy of the reward, you know, to be able to pay his needs and so forth. In this church, again, we don't have to worry about dealing with that. God has provided me a great job, and don't have to worry about anything like that, and praise God for that. But biblically, there is that responsibility, and there are obviously situations where pastors, that's their income. That's how they feed the family. The church takes care of that. That is a biblical thing to do. But I want to read on here, verses 19 and 20, because it also gives the flip side. If there's double honor, in a sense, as far as a pastor that's doing well, there's also dealing with a rebuke if they're not doing well. Verse 19 and 20, it says this, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Again, if there's something that this elder has done, there needs to be two or three witnesses that say, "Hey, yeah, I've seen this," or whatever, that sort of thing. And then in verse 20, it says this, "Then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." The accountability. Now again, it's like, I want to read all of that because it can be easy for me to get up here in the day and say, this is what the church needs to do for me. It's like, well, wait a minute. Again, the Word of God is a double-edged sword. All right? And it's like, if I'm doing something that is not biblically right, and it's responsibility for, again, the church to say, "Hey, pastor, hey, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what you're doing, and that doesn't match up. And if that is true, then guess what? Rebuke before all." Not keep it hush-hush. Keep it quiet. It's like, no, rebuke before all that others may fear. In other words, again, everybody is not, the pastor is not the authority of the church. The authority of the church is what? The Word of God. We are all under that authority, starting with me. I want to give you another reference before we move on. We're in 1 Timothy. I just want you to hop over to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Again, this is something that is familiar to this church. It's kind of like one of our themes. Obviously, it is the verse that's on the front of this pulpit. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We all know it well. We probably all have it memorized. But I want you to notice what it says here again. And this is for everybody. This is not just for the pastor. This is for every believer in Christ. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I said before, all the Word of God is for you, but not all the Word of God is to you. In other words, there are things in the Word of God that is not directed to us. There are things that are directed to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. We can learn from those things, but we're not going to be held accountable to those things because that is not our doctrine. And obviously, there's things that are written to us that we're going to be held accountable for that are not for the nation of Israel. That sort of thing. But you notice in this verse, it talks about study and a workman. It takes work. It takes study. If any of you heard me before, I'm not going to take the time to go through what I deal with in preparing a message, but I'll just say this briefly, all right? Before we start preaching in the book that we'll start preaching through in 2022, I have already been studying through it. I have already outlined all the chapters. I've already done cross-references, and I'm already still reviewing. So by the time I preach the first message in that particular book in January of 2022, and the Lord don't come back before then, I've already spent a long time preparing and studying for that. Each week, each message, you know what I do? I review it every day. All right? So once I'm done with today's message, I will go home, I'll put this online, and so forth and so on, and I'll already start reviewing for next week's message. And I do it every day until I stand up and preach it. All right? And that's just a bare aspect of what I do. But that's how important the Word of God is to me and how important it is to have that privilege of preaching the Word of God and laboring in it and having the doctrine and trying to the best of my ability to present it exactly as it's written by God. And not to defer from it, not to change it or anything like that. That's the kind of work I do over and over and over again. And any pastor should be doing that. And if a pastor wants the respect of his people, then that's the kind of labor in the Word of God that he needs to be putting in. One more reference with this and we've got to move on. And since you're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I included verse 1 because, again, it deals with that accountability that we're going to have before the Lord. And specifically, this is Paul telling Timothy, a pastor of the church of Ephesus, what he needs to be doing. It says this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. That's the accountability. We are going to stand and have to give an account for the things that we do. He tells them this in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering, and here's that word again, doctrine. That is what a pastor needs to be doing. Which means they need to study, put the work in, put the labor in, to make sure they're preaching God's word as is intended, as God laid it out. Not opinion, not what you think. This is what the Word of God says, and that takes work. And unfortunately, there's too many people that, as in leadership position as a pastor, that they don't want to put that kind of work in it. All right, I've been to churches when I've had on vacation, things like that, and I've gone to churches, and you guys will probably maybe want this. I mean, their messages are 15, 20 minutes long. That's it, and it's not much Word of God in it whatsoever. And there's times where it's just a feel-good story, no word whatsoever. How to apply it to your life. You know, and it's like there's no wonder we have the issues and the problems that we do in the world, in our country, and in the church, in people's lives, because there's no actual people preaching and teaching the Word of God. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've got something else to pick up in dealing with verse 12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. I want to deal with that phrase, and are over you in the Lord. Now, here's the thing. My responsibility begins and ends with church and preaching and teaching the Word of God. I am not over you in a sense of, hey, you know what? Arnold, I think you need to work this job. That'll be better for you. This is what the Lord told me that you need to be in. It's like if I came out and said something like that, he'd say, Charles? No, Arnold. He would say, Pastor? He could say, bad pastor. He's told me that a number of times. All right? That sort of thing. All right? The authority of a pastor is dealing with the church that he's pastoring. It's not to be all up in your business and saying what you need to be wearing. And I've dealt with that before, or what you're supposed to be doing or not doing, and a list of do's and don'ts and things like that. That is not the authority. When it talks about being over you, it's dealing with the position in the church. All right. If I was to, since I'm using Arnold, my good friend, if I was to go to Arnold's workplace, and he's a supervisor, manager, that sort of thing, it's like, well, Arnold, I'm the pastor. I think it should be ran this way. One, he's part of flatness in Jesus' name. You know, I have no idea what's going on in his job. I don't know how to do his job. My authority, just because I'm his pastor in a sense, doesn't mean that I have rule over him in every aspect of his life. All right? It's about the authority within the church. And there are pastors that think that that's what they're supposed to be doing. They're involved in people's lives and making decisions in people's lives that they have no business to be doing. A pastor's responsibility is to show his people, this is what the Word of God says. And they come to the pastor with whatever circumstance or situation is going on, since we're using an example of employment, they got an issue at the job or whatever, and they want to say, hey, what does the Word of God say? That's where the authority comes in. Here, let me show you what the Word of God says, but the decision is still yours. But unfortunately, there's some spiritual leaders, quote-unquote, out there that think they have rule over every aspect of somebody's life. That is not biblical, and that is not the case whatsoever. All right, the authority is dealing within the church, within the body of Christ there. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, in all this, just like our introductory verse, consider the end of their conversation. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. You're not supposed to just blindly follow somebody that's not doing what's right according to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll read verse 12 and move on to verse 13 and that second aspect of this. All right? It says this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now, there's a couple aspects of this verse I'm going to deal with in dealing with respect here, as we entitled this verse. But to esteem them very highly in love. Well, just notice this, for their work's sake. Again, the work. What is the respect or the esteem and love comes from very highly? It comes from the pastor doing the work. All right? That's what grammatically is going on here. And that's, again, for the pastor, that is what? Laboring in the word and in doctrine. That's where the respect comes in. If the pastor is doing what is laid out to do, that's where the love and respect comes from. But it's dealing with this work that they have. I want you to go back to Acts 13 real quick. And this is where they talk about Paul's first missionary journey, and he's with Barnabas here. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 really is the model of what a local church should be today. You have a team of pastors. They're focused in on the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And then God separates out, as we're going to see here, Paul and Barnabas for the work that He has called them unto. Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. It says this, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul," whose, of course, his name gets changed to Paul. Now, verse 2, it says this, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And of course, they end up going on what they call their first missionary journey, and they had John Mark as their minister going with them. And you read that in the next couple of chapters and what they were doing. But they were separated for the work. God had a job for them to do. All right? And that's how things work and how it should work in dealing with the local church and so forth. As you have people ministering, you have leaders there, God may separate out for the work that they need to do. I've dealt with that, been there a couple of times where, again, my church that I was at the time, way back in 1990 and so forth, that the Lord separated me out to do missions in Canada, where I was there for 7.5 years until I came back here. And then again, working at KCBC, you know, we had our combined service with them just a couple of weeks ago, and it's like the Lord separated me out to be able to come here to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. That is the work. And the work, I'm going to tell you this, it's not always easy. The work of the ministry is not always easy. It's not. Again, we talk about being honest. All right? There's some hard things to have to deal with. And it's not just issues in people's lives or anything like that I'm getting at. It's just, at times it can be hard. Go through situations. It's like, how do we deal with that? Take, for instance, a couple of years ago, and dealing with this COVID pandemic and everything's shutting down. It's like, man, Lord, what should I do here? We live in the United States. We have a Constitution, First Amendment right to be able to assemble. But yet, there's a pandemic thing that's going on. And, you know, do we still have church? Because, in a sense, I have a right as a being in the United States to do that. Or what kind of testimony is it going to be if we're doing something, especially if a bunch of people get sick? What do I do? Well, we decided, okay, let's shut down for a while. But then at a certain point, it's like, man, it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us not to have that face-to-face contact and things like that. And we started back up again. I mean, there's decisions like that that it's like, okay, what do I do? I'm not even talking about, just like I said, individual people's issues and lives and things like that. It can be tough. It can be tough. It's not an easy job to do, all right? That sort of thing. And so when it comes to understanding this, it's like, I would just say this, and again, it's not necessarily for you, but if you're out there and somebody thinks that, you know what, I want to be involved in ministry, make sure it's what God would have you to do, what God has called you to do, all right? I think the same thing with my law enforcement. I think that's something that God has called me to do. I tried teaching in a junior high / high school that was Christian. God did not call me to do that. I tell you that right now. You could not pay me enough, no joke, to teach in school. No way. No way. Unless maybe college? Maybe. But not some regular school. I know that God has not called me for that. All right? It takes a special person to do that. When we talk about, again, decisions, or talking about the role of a pastor, I want to give you one more reference before we move on and actually probably finish things up. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we talk about where the congregation, their responsibility to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Here's the qualifications of a pastor, and this is not a one-time thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says this. Again, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. You know, he has the responsibility of maybe, again, developing other leaders and so forth. It says this, starting in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. All right? The work. All right? A bishop is another name in the Word of God as far as a pastor is concerned. And then it goes on and deals with the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. All right? Got to be ready. You've got to be able to teach. Not given to wine. Okay? It doesn't mean that he can't drink. It just means that he's not given to. He's not an alcoholic. Not given to wine. No striker. Even though I do karate, I don't go around hitting people. All right? Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler. The brawler is in a sense of being argumentative with people. Not covetous. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Side note, it is a shame when you have pastors or spiritual leaders that put the church above their own family. That's not biblical. It's not. All right? Family is the priority over the church. All right? Love you guys, but the priority is like my relationship with God, relationship with my wife, then there's my child, we have a son, and then it's you guys. So you're up there, and then there's the other stuff, but it's not biblically right for a pastor that puts the church congregation over his own family. And there's so many pastors that their lives are destroyed because they exactly do that. All right, and it's like there's a priority, a structure that God has laid out there, and we see it here. And it's not just, like I said, a one-time thing. It's something that needs to be daily in their lives. All right, and so the last thing it says, a couple of things in verses 6 and 7, it says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. He needs to have a good testimony also with those who are not in the church. I mean, that's what a pastor, that's the bill that it fits. You think about any kind of job type situation, or am I talking about, again, job situations and applicants for a particular job? It's like, this is what the requirements are in being a good pastor. This is what I need to make sure that is happening in my life to be able to be the pastor, to be able to earn what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 and dealing with that respect. Let's go back there and finish up. Again, verse 13, it says this, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, again, we talk about the authority of a pastor. Again, it deals with within the church. And there's nothing that can be more troublesome than if there's issues with the people in the church. And that's why he talked about, be at peace among yourselves. I mean, you think about any parents, and you have kids. Like, we just have the one son. But you have more than one child. It's like when the kids are fighting, there's not some peace there. It needs to be taken care of. So there's peace. So the parents can have some peace. All right? Stop fighting. Start arguing, you know, with that. And it's like, well, same thing within the church. And Paul says, it's like, you know, when you talk about the responsibility that you have to your leaders in the church, okay, esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. All right? And the idea is like, there's a lot that the pastor, if he's going to be a good one, has to spend their time in dealing with. And if there's issues within the body in that local church and fighting and bickering, things like that, that's going to take away from that primary responsibility. Yes, the pastor needs to deal with those things, but it takes away from the primary responsibility. I want to give you a couple of references, and we're going to go back to Philippians for this. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. A good example of what Paul is talking about here is, again, I'm not having you turn there because I want you to go to Philippians, but the church of Corinth and the churches of Galatia were probably a little bit of a headache for Paul. I mean, constant problems. In 1 Corinthians, you read it chapter after chapter. There's some issue, some problem, some schism, some division that Paul had to deal with. Chapter after chapter after chapter. Book of Galatians. I mean, again, that's a province or a region, and so they're not just talking about one church of Galatia. There's churches in Galatia that were, again, having issues and that he had to deal with. I mean, with doctrinal things that are going on. I mean, that was the case. But in Philippians, we still, it's a great book. We studied it last year, went through it, preached through it. There's even an issue there in the Philippians, and they were a good church. But I want you to notice what it says in chapter 2, first and foremost. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, unity. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Again, I'm not going to go through any details in dealing with that because I have that message. It's online. You can look back at it. But the bottom line is that within the body of Christ, within a church, there should be that unity that comes from a relationship with Christ and in the Word of God. And if there are any issues, any squabbles, then it should be taken care of by the mutual parties being submissive to what the Word of God says about that circumstance. In chapter 4, Philippians, because there's one specific circumstance that Paul does mention. And notice what he says. Philippians chapter 4, in the first three verses, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we don't know what the circumstance of the situation is with Eutychus and Syntyche, but enough where Paul says, hey, you know what? Help those women take care of the situation. Whatever it is, again, resolve it with the Word of God. So again, there's peace. There's peace. And so as we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and to finish up here, again, as we've been coming through this chapter, we've been looking at what it's going to be like before the Lord returns. I mean, the world's not going to get better, all right? And it won't be better until the Lord comes back. Now, obviously, he takes the church out before the tribulation and Antichrist and all that sort of stuff that goes on. We've been talking about that as we've been coming through 1 Thessalonians in different messages. But now we're down to where we're ending this book, we're ending this chapter, and really what we're seeing is like, instructions of how, as believers in Christ, we are to live in these final days before the Lord takes us home. Last week, we talked about the importance of actually living for Christ. Our body is a living sacrifice, and the importance of being able to comfort and edify one another. I mean, that's what all of us as believers in Christ should be doing. This week, we spent two verses on looking at the responsibility of the congregation as far as the pastor is concerned. But hopefully, I think you saw more that I dealt with what a pastor needs to be doing to earn that respect and that love and everything is for them to be working in ministry. And as we continue on through this and through the final messages that we're going to see, we're going to have all these little instructions that are so important for us to be able to live by in the face of what we're seeing in our country, what we're seeing in the world, and just how, again, it's more and more against God, more against the Word of God. This is what we need to be doing. And from a pastor's point of view and perspective, all right, I want to make sure that I am doing everything I can to labor and study in the Word of God, to make sure that every week I am giving you exactly what the Word of God says. And again, that hopefully that we are, again, understanding that we are working together to know each other in the sense of our relationships, that we're, again, that we can feel free. I hope you feel that I am somebody that's approachable. You can come to me, talk to me, and I'll be there to pray for you, to help you in any way that I can. And also, I need you. I need you to be praying for me. I'll be open and honest with you and say, hey, these are things that are going on. These are the things that I need you to pray for me about. When I talk about, hey, what are you learning in the Word of God? You know, I need that because the Lord's showing you something that may be a help for me this week. We're in this thing together, all right? And so I hope that, again, it's a different kind of a message in a sense, especially since I'm, again, preaching about the very position that I have and that sort of thing. And I will never demand respect from you. I will never demand anything. But hopefully I can earn that love and respect. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for all that you do and everything that you show us in the Word of God. We have seen things in chapter 5 that are just incredible in understanding the things that are going to be taking place in the future and our role and what's going to take place as far as you coming back for us and before the time of the tribulation and all that, to the very practical, these last couple of weeks, every day, what we need to be doing as believers in Christ, including the relationship between a pastor and his people. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be able to grow in that and understand what we need to be doing. It's not a matter of what other churches are doing or not doing, what the world is doing and not doing. It's a matter of, for Faith Bible Church, are we being obedient, submitting to every aspect of your word that we're going to be held accountable for? So Lord, I pray that you help me to be a better pastor. Help me to be a good example as best I can be in how to follow you and how to learn and grow in the Word of God, and help me to be a better teacher of the Word of God. Help me to be a better pastor. Help me to be diligent to know the state of this flock and to look well unto them. And Lord, I pray that, everyone here and those who weren't able to be here today because of sickness and so forth, but that they would feel comfortable in being able to talk to me and to get to know me even better, and that, again, that we're in this thing together. You're Lord. Your word is the authority, Lord, and I pray that you help us to grow in it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.